"Let me just run this by my lawyer" is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're going to love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
Did you watch the Chris Rock Netflix special?
Yes. That was one of the best comedy specials I've ever seen in my life. Man, 8+, 10+. That was terrific. That was truly hysterical.
Yeah, he had little things to say about the woke crowd before he finally got to Will Smith at the end. But the term he kept using was selective outrage.
Yeah.
That people are not outraged by certain things, but they target certain people for their outrage.
Sure. It's a weapon to be used. It's not real outrage. It's a chance to destroy somebody that you want to destroy. And so you
the
use
part
it as a
that
weapon.
Had me laughing and my jaw dropping the most, though, was the riff on the Kardashians. It was very interesting. Speaking of equity, that was pretty raw. I can't really repeat it all, but
there was a lot of raw
concerning,
stuff in
you know,
there.
Who they select as their yeah. Wow,
a lot of it you can't do on broadcast radio or TV.
No,
that really was one of the funniest specials I've ever seen in my life.
Wow,
he's
never
just,
in your life. Wow.
Yeah, I mean there aren't too many guys who can do that. There's very few guys.
You know, I'm always amazed that I don't know how much they prepare, but you know he's talking off the top of his head there and just you know coming up with the lines, although he made one mistake near the end where he admitted it. He just put the one word in the wrong place or something.
Yeah.
He goes, oh, wait a minute, I messed that up. Yeah. But otherwise, it's pretty amazing to see how these guys, I realize a lot of it is stream of consciousness along with an idea of what you're going to say, and then it just comes bursting out on stage as he walks back and forth.
Or he's good at giving the illusion. You know, that could be very tightly scripted and memorized, and he's just a really,
could be.
Really good
right.
at performing.
I mean, he's had a year to really work up a whole...
Yeah.
and you know, he's a good capitalist. I mean, everyone said, well, when he finally does an interview and tells his story, he's probably going to want a price for it, and I'm sure Netflix paid him handsomely for this live special that aired last night.
Yeah.
$40 million reportedly.
$40 million
right?
They paid.
$40 million.
That's what I heard.
See?
Yeah.
See? Because, you know, he made a joke at the end. I'm not going to sit down with Oprah. I'm not going to sit down with Gayle King. Come on.
That doesn't.
Not me. I'm not a victim.
That doesn't pay.
that doesn't pay as much.
Well, it's worth it.
It is, yeah. It's only an hour or so if you want to check it out. If you have Netflix, it has got some very humorous points to it, and he does make a lot of points about just society in general, right? This is another columnist we just love with the El Segundo Times. Her name is Erica D. Smith. Although this time, I have to admit, I thought she hit upon something that we have to spend some time on. And the headline, "The Real and Complicated Reasons Why Los Angeles Still Has So Many RV Encampments." She starts out, and I think it says it all in the first few paragraphs here. "For 5 nights, Melissa Grady refused to sleep. She told me that on a recent afternoon, rubbing her eyes with blackened hands while trying to ignore the burned husk of twisted metal that barely resembled the RV she had been sharing with her boyfriend, Woody Akitas. No one knows for sure how it started, but over President's Day weekend, a fire engulfed their metal home, melting its tires to the pavement and sending a plume of dark smoke billowing over the Bologna wetlands, Playa Vista, and Playa del Rey. Grady had been asleep, saw the flames, and dashed outside in panic. Akitas did too, but for some reason, he went back in. Grady tried to chase him down, getting close enough to spot his ankle, but the heat was too much. Others who had run over from their RVs couldn't get to him either. Eventually, firefighters found the body of Akitas, charred and lifeless next to his prized, if not destroyed, collection of Hot Wheels toy cars."
Is that what he ran in to save?
Akitas was 60.
Was it his Hot Wheels collection?
Apparently that's what he went in to save, and he must have been overcome by smoke and dropped right next to his toys, which he was trying to retrieve from the RV. What do we learn from this? While it is sad and a tragedy, a 60-year-old man trying to retrieve his Hot Wheels toy cars from the RV he lives in.
Mm.
And I might add, probably illegally on property he's not supposed to have it parked.
Yeah, he's got mental issues. All right? You're not going to find 60-year-old men dying trying to save their Hot Wheels collection, especially if they're living. And if you're living in a home that has an ignition key.
Well, that's the main thing that you take from this story. I mean, she points out that the Bologna wetlands and the freshwater marsh was once prized destinations for bird watching, but they've taken a beating environmentally with mature trees cut down, storm drains used as trash receptacles, and the entire area doubling as a toilet.
Yeah, it's the most disgusting thing that was allowed by Garcetti and Bonin and by all the officials in the county and the state. It is so foul what they've done. And one of the points of the column is, well, these people don't feel they're homeless.
They do not believe they're homeless because they have an RV.
Right.
Which is something that has to be corrected. They are homeless.
But
you could, you find a place to legally put your RV, there's actually an RV park not that far from me, less than a mile away. It's off the road and a little back, and people have they're almost like permanent mobile homes in there.
There's some people who drive in an RV all year, and they go from RV park.
They go to
RV
sanctioned
park.
Campgrounds.
Right. They go to campgrounds, and you have to pay for the campgrounds.
That's right, and it has hookups for their poop.
Right. And that's a really big deal because then all your urine and poop and garbage, you know, gets taken out of your RV and put in a place where it's supposed to be. They're using a protected wetlands area as their sewer.
And I don't care if you think you're not homeless because you have an RV. You cannot park it anywhere you want. It doesn't work that way.
But the thing
is, not in a civilized society.
The problem is, I don't care if these people say they're homeless or not. It's irrelevant to me. It's against the law to park there. It's against the law to dump your filthy waste there.
But she says that's why they won't take housing, because I'm not homeless.
Well, then start it up and go drive somewhere else. See, that's the thing. Just because they don't think they're homeless doesn't mean they get to park there. They still have to move because what they're doing is illegal and they're destroying the nature preserve. So they should be treated as criminals. Yeah. These people, their homelessness ought to be criminalized because of all the destruction they did to a protective wetland. I mean, they're vandals.
Bass, that's Karen Bassetti, the mayor, has an idea to persuade people to give up their RVs for demolition. That would happen by offering to pay a lump sum for the vehicles or by wiping out parking tickets and warrants.
Oh, they don't care about the parking
tickets. It's the soft.
And some excuse is given here that they don't have enough tow trucks.
Yeah, that was another part of the story.
They've had at the height about 50 to 60 of these RVs near the wetlands. If you have one tow truck, just one, you can do one a day, and in 2 months, the problem's gone. So there's no excuse. And don't tell me you don't have all the city land that's used, unused city land or county land. You can find a place to tow these. I mean, that is just total. That is a total lie. It is total nonsense. Go buy a new tow truck then.
Again, if you tolerate it, it will grow. I can tell you here in the South Bay, I knew a block not far from my home in Redondo Beach that was lined with these RVs. They rezoned the whole thing. They put up parking meters and all sorts of signs. Those people are gone. Some of them, and now there's a lot of people living in vans. They've moved to a different street, but I think they're going to catch up to them too because there's no meters.
You keep enforcing the law. You keep knocking on the door and saying, you got to be out in an hour.
That's what sane cities do, right? Yeah,
because I don't see this in most cities. You go to Glendale. Glendale's a pretty big city. You are not going to see any RVs in the street. You're not going to see homeless tents out. They don't exist. You go to Beverly Hills. You think they have RVs in that park across from City Hall?
No, they don't.
So this is this Erica Smith, gives a lot of diarrhea in this thing. But the truth is, it's Garcetti and Bassetti refusing to enforce the law, and there's plenty of laws on the books. Dumping your feces in a protected wetlands is against the law.
The L.A. political establishment will not hold people responsible. And now this excuse, well, we're not really homeless.
But no.
As you said, that's right. That's just a word.
It becomes, you see, they're really good at leading you down rabbit holes where you can start philosophically debating what truly is a homeless person. You know, is it because they have to have a fixed address? Do they have to have a private room? Well, you shut up. Who cares? This person's pooping in a protected bird preserve.
We got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
I see Twitter did have some outages today. We were just talking last week. How can you let go like 2/3 of the workforce and not have some kind of impact on the operation of a company? But so far, I mean, it hasn't been too bad, but there were some glitches today. And some of the progressive media is following this closely. You see, Elon Musk laying off almost everybody at Twitter is going to result in service problems.
God, I don't know. The country lasted for about 240 years without Twitter. Wow, it's so necessary.
230 million users.
So necessary to have everybody's opinion.
I know. Well, it makes people feel important. Oh, and Chris Rock made jokes about that, too. Like, that's how social media, everybody wants to feel important. Pictures of me. Look at pictures of me.
Yeah, I know.
he did throw in that joke, too, last night, which I enjoyed about it. Look at pictures of me. Look at me.
Yeah, he actually mentioned Deborah by name.
I didn't hear that.
Somebody's addicted
Deborah
to attention.
Deborah and her dogs, yeah. You watched it?
I watched about 10 minutes of it.
Yeah, I thought it might be a little harsh for you.
It was. Yeah, it was. I didn't love it like John. And after 10 minutes, I was done.
Wow. I didn't know you were that.
I'm not sensitive. It's not even about that.
It wasn't her sense of humor.
Exactly.
No, I can
All
understand
the F-bombs. I was done. So then
the
I went on.
F-bombs were everywhere.
Oh, yeah, and I heard that too. So then I went on YouTube because I really wanted to hear what he had to say about Will Smith. So
yeah, that's right.
I know that was at the very end. Yeah, so.
You scrolled ahead to the.
I went and found.
Yeah, it wasn't until the last 10 minutes that he actually gets into the whole Will Smith thing. And yeah. We're going to update you now on the world of the war on, well, it's gasoline in your car. You can tell by the high prices we pay in California. That's exactly what they're trying to do, get you to stop using gasoline in your car. But the newer one is the war on natural gas. The El Segundo Times editorial board extolled the San Francisco Air Quality Management. It's called the Bay Area Air Quality Management District. They're going to vote on rules coming up, which are going to phase out gas-fueled water heaters and furnaces in your home and businesses. I actually have one. I have a tankless water heater that runs on natural gas, and they want to phase this out. The last time we touched on this topic, it was dealing with natural gas stoves in your home. But starting in 2027, new businesses and new homes will not be able to get the natural gas fueled water heaters and furnaces.
What a bunch of
weird... In the entire Bay Area.
What a bunch of weird fanatics. They just move from one obsession to the next. And somehow in the last few months, gas-powered appliances became the latest object in their sights to ban. And everything is about banning.
Yep.
Everything is about taking something away or preventing you from buying it in the future because they say so.
I mean, I remember that statistic we mentioned last week. It was from SoCal Gas. I'd have to do some looking into it. But they claim that 60% of electricity is fueled by natural gas. So if you're going to have everybody switch to electricity, there's still going to be natural gas in the mix.
Well,
just can't ignore that.
Plus, it's futile. In terms of, but the whole purpose is their stupid climate obsession, and that's never, ever, ever going to happen. I mean, there was a story the other day about how many power plants, coal-fired power plants, that China is opening. They're rapidly expanding their coal-fired power plant capacity. It is so utterly futile. It is just about bullying people. Controlling people. This is going to have no effect on the planet. But everybody's so brainwashed and bamboozled, they don't know what the truth is.
Oh, and the Times eventually admits that it's going to be more expensive to put in electric appliances instead. They'll be much more expensive than the gas.
Of course
ones.
It is.
Oh, then the government's going to have to come up with tax credits and rebates and stuff like that. They always call for that.
Sure,
right?
More government control.
Which means they need tax money, which means they have to grab it from somewhere.
Right, but you see how the government now is in charge of manipulating how much money is taxed so they can redistribute it to favored demographics. Oh, well, you have an electric heater. You are favored. You get some of someone else's money. We don't like them. They have a gas-powered water heater. We are going to tax them and give the money to you because we like that better.
Oh, and there's even more hidden costs. Apparently, converting your home to swap out your current equipment with an electric version could be very pricey. Your home may require electrical panel upgrades, new 240-volt outlets, or other modifications.
Yeah, this is control. Dictators like to dictate. If you look at countries that have had kings and dictators, often their dictates have been irrational and overbearing and ridiculous. Why did they do it? Because they can. Because that's the basic impulse in human nature, is to control other people and tell them what to do.
Why does California always have to be the laboratory for all this? As if, you know, again, the thought was, what was that, 2006?
Because
the Global Warming Solution Act?
Because
they thought the world would follow us. Well, here we are, 17 years later. It doesn't look like it.
Yeah, I think that's their cover. Obviously, the world's not going to follow it, right? After all these years, clearly that's a failure. It goes back to the human desire to control. That's what it is. And we elect leftists. There's too many people in the state who believe that the government should dictate the terms of our day-to-day life. Get involved in our kitchen. Decide what kind of, whether we have a gas stove or an electric stove, whether we have gas water heat or electric water heat. Well, why should the state weigh in on that at all? It's not their business.
All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
All right, well, we go to two cities which always had their share of trouble, although one has been less in the news the last few years than the other. We start with Portland. Of course, usually when we talk about Portland, it's people leaving because the homeless problem there is really out of control. But of course, on top of that, they've had problems with the activists and all the protests. Antifa, the anarchists, whatever you want to call them. This story is, well, where the two stories kind of cross. Walmart is closing its last two stores in Portland, Oregon. You think about that. Walmarts are everywhere. They're ubiquitous. It's one of the biggest money-making machines that there is in the country. And for them to close the stores must mean it must be really bad. And it is, as you might have guessed, a shoplifting problem.
Well, when
they are seeing a spike in shrink. That's the term they use in the industry to address losses related to in-store theft or fraud. The CEO, Doug McMillon, made an appearance on Squawk Box in December where he said, yes, theft is an issue and it's been higher than what has been historic. I think local law enforcement being staffed and being a good partner is part of that equation. If that's not corrected over time, prices will be higher and or stores will close. Well, 3 months later, they've decided to close the stores in Portland.
So how many employees are out of work now? And how many customers shop there regularly?
I mean, I don't know either.
You know, Walmart is the largest company by revenue in the world.
It's massive.
They get $570 billion a year in revenue, over $500 billion a year in revenue. And if it's proportional, you know, to Portland, that's probably a huge destination for a lot of shoppers there. And there's probably a lot of employees.
It says that according to a member of Portland's police neighborhood response team, this is a big deal. People in those neighborhoods, that's where they shop. And the only place they shop is Walmart, because you can get your groceries, you can get everything in there.
It's the largest employer in the world, private. 2.2 million people. So the biggest company by several measures is pulling out of Portland because the Portland mayor and the other officials simply won't throw people in jail who steal.
Your answer. 600 employees worked at the two stores.
Yeah, 600 employees. And so that's probably 1,200 to 2,000 people who are affected, assuming most of these people have families, have, you know, husbands and wives and partners and kids and things. Right. So now there's no money for them to eat and pay their bills only because the Portland mayor and city council won't throw those people in jail who do the stealing. And they think, they actually have this very, very ugly, snotty, arrogant attitude. It's like, well, it's only property. Well, these businesses could afford it. And it's like, no. Doesn't matter if they can afford it. They're not going to afford it. They're not going to just arbitrarily allow people to walk off with a certain percentage of their income.
The answer is you have to punish everybody by closing the store. What else can you do?
Yeah.
If it's not profitable, if you're losing too much to theft, if it's out of control, you just say, that's it. We're pulling out.
What's fascinating is for a lot of these politicians, it doesn't matter how much business they lose in their downtowns or how many companies like Walmart pull out or Walgreens in San Francisco closed a lot of their stores. It doesn't matter. They'll still allow all the criminal elements to run around every day, stealing stuff, hurting people, And like, you know, San Francisco, it was like 150,000 people. Fewer people are now working in the city.
Yeah, it was about
150,000, which translates to God knows how many meals every week and how much merchandise no longer purchased in downtown San Francisco and how much tax revenue not going to be there anymore. The companies are going to move out. They're not going to rent as much space. The sales tax has disappeared. Is there any limit to the amount of damage they do to their cities before they admit they're wrong?
Now, another place where these types of activities are going on, we're referring to what's been going on in Portland and Seattle beginning in 2020 with all the protests that took to the streets and the takeovers, is the Atlanta area. We've mentioned this story before, but it really cranked up on Sunday. They're building a large public safety training center site in Atlanta. It's a piece of land and they're putting up because they want their police and fire to have good training facilities. They're putting up an all new place. Well, for some reason, the Antifa antagonists have decided that they're not going to allow this. They went there again yesterday and they started throwing Molotov cocktails at the police. I'm actually looking at a video where the police pulled back. They were pulling a fence closed as these little firebombs were whizzing past their heads. They're trying to destroy construction equipment and machinery. They're literally rioting to try to shut this down. They call it Cop City. Now, the Daily Mail is just in a story with the mugshots of a collection of 23 of them who got arrested yesterday. And I hate to say it, they all look like white privileged people.
They are.
One of them is actually an attorney for the Southern Poverty Law Center, that yes, group, which thinks everything is racist.
It's rich, white, woke people who do this. And that's the demographic.
In the 23 photos, there's one black male.
Yeah.
That's all I see. Right. The rest are mostly men, but there's a few women in there, but they're all white looking.
Yeah, and some of them look like they come from wealthy backgrounds. You could just by their demeanor and the their haircuts.
Oh, well, that guy I just mentioned who got arrested, he went to Oxford.
Yeah.
And then he got a Juris Doctor from the University of Georgia School of Law. And he eventually set out and took a job at the Southern Poverty Law Center. He's supposed to be one of the organizers of these protests.
Look at the picture of him. His name's Thomas Juergens. His staff picture from the Southern Poverty Law Center. He's wearing a blue jacket and a gold tie.
Yeah.
And he looks like Mr. All-America.
Timothy Bilodeau is a former teacher at the Massachusetts School of Science, Creativity, and Leadership.
Now,
a teacher of engineering, he describes himself as. He's another one of the bug shots.
So there's 23 protesters, and they've been charged with domestic terrorism, which is great. That's what you got to do with these bastards. Domestic terrorism can put you in a federal prison for a long time.
Erit Nottingham, age 22, describes himself as a climate activist.
Yeah.
Who's been involved in protests all over, including Black Lives Matter protests. It's another white guy. He became an activist in 2018. He's devoting his life to it.
So this is fascinating. And I've seen, you know, reporting done that alludes to this phenomenon, but nobody's explained it. Nobody's researched it. What sends these spoiled white kids to glom on to whatever the faddish cause of the month is, and then go burn things down and blow them up? What is that impulse? They're acting, you know, some kind of hostility out. Is it against their parents?
And I think they organize on social media, and one of the leaders just picks a place, and they've decided, this police training facility in Atlanta, we can't let this go up. It's fascist, right?
Yeah, that's their word. That's the word they use that for everything now.
Everything's fascist.
Everything's fascist. That's the trending.
Oh, yeah, they got a group called Stop Cop City. It's 381 acres of land in a forest that they're developing.
Who's financed this? Who's organized this?
Yeah, these people are coming from all over the country to be involved in this.
Well, there's a lot of left-wing anarchist types who are very wealthy. And like George Soros, his organization finances a lot of this crap. And Soros now has a son. And the son is big in financing.
Oh, no.
Left-wing candidates. Yeah, he's met at the Biden White House a number of times. Because George is, I think, in his early 90s. So he's on his way out. So the son's now taking the organization over. And what they do is they finance, it's like seed money for all this destruction. And it's destruction for the sake of destruction.
All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
All right, we're about to finish up the live show, but of course you can pick up the podcast right there at 4 o'clock, a little bit after. It'll be posted up all 3 hours for you to check out at KFIAM640.com or the iHeartRadio app. Well, I noticed this story a couple of weeks ago, but we didn't get to it. But today, the New York Times has a take on it. The headline is, Televised face slapping, what are we becoming? If you're not aware, TBS, Turner Broadcasting Channel from cable TV, has a show called Power Slap, and there's a Power Slap League.
Man, I missed this. I had no idea this existed.
It's run by Dana White from the UFC.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
It's a spinoff then, huh? That's great.
How low can you go?
Well, what do you want from the prissies at the New York Times? Oh, my goodness. People slapping each other for money, and the public is watching this. Oh!
Power Slap Road to the Title.
When is this on?
It made its debut on TBS in January.
That's been on 2 months already.
They talked to a woman that basically suffered a concussion in one of the episodes.
Well, that happens every Sunday in the NFL. What's the big deal?
This is the Three Stooges used to always slap each other.
Yeah, did the Three Stooges end up with any permanent injuries?
You ever hear their stories that they sometimes actually did get very physically hurt by the stunts on that show because they didn't do any substituting? And
like the 2x4s actually whacked him in the skull?
It's on Wednesday nights.
Wednesday nights? Is this a weekly series?
Is this something you cover, Duke of Sports?
It's been a talk on Twitter with a bunch of people over the last few months just because of how ridiculous it is.
Have you watched it?
No. I'm not really into combat sports, really.
No.
400,000 people apparently watched one of the episodes. Okay. For cable, I guess that's not a bad number.
Well, the woman that's profiled here, Courtney Olson, she's the one who got the concussion. It says here she was wearing a mohawk.
No.
What a lovely lady.
Well,
there's somebody to date, huh?
Out of a power slap competition, you're not exactly worried about your face. Boy, or your hair.
Yeah, that's wife material, huh?
Yeah.
Wearing a mohawk and entered the slap competition.
Now she struggled to swallow and suffered through headaches in the days after being felled.
Well, yeah, you're getting your head beat in.
Prominent brain trauma experts said that hits to the side of the head, the only kinds allowed in slap fighting, where the cheek area is targeted, by far the worst kinds of blows. In the aftermath of a strike, the receiver's head swivels violently. The brain twists inside the skull, and nerve connections across the brain can end up severed.
Yeah.
This increases the risk of dementia and CTE. The degenerative brain disease that, of course, has affected many boxers and NFL players.
Here's a quote from Dana White that Eric just mentioned. He's the president of UFC. Here's his response to critics. Morons.
That's the whole response?
Yeah, morons. In slap, they take 3 to 5 slaps per event. Fighters in boxing take 300 to 400 punches per fight. If you don't like it, don't watch it.
Yeah, that's ultimately the answer. I don't see this as a big success, but everything now is about trying to find a niche, get a little advertising money. Yeah, it might succeed on that level.
Yeah, I mean, if all they need is 400,000 people to watch, I mean, that there's plenty of drunk frat guys who'll watch that.
Yeah, I know.
Don't forget the gambling aspect either.
Oh, that's right.
In 2021 in Poland, a former mixed martial arts fighter named Artur Walczak died after being struck in a slap fight, John. Poland, in figures. Schwarzenegger's a big fan.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he's a promoter.
He is.
Yeah. He's a celebrity backer, it says here, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Apparently, this started in Europe and has made way over to the United States, it's a cable television show.
Why would there be any more objections than the UFC or boxing? I mean, it's all...
It's not that. The writer of this article is just saying, oh, it looked like we were kind of phasing out a lot of that, and now this show comes on.
Oh, I just can't believe America's like this. Why does America embrace violence this way?
It has been sanctioned by the Nevada Athletic Commission. I wonder how much money you get for taking slaps.
They just don't understand human nature. Human nature enjoys watching violence. It anticipates violence. Movies. Sure. That's behind the popularity of car crashes.
It's even
NASCAR
more so
races.
In the U.S. We're big fans of anything violent. We're
animals. Why shouldn't
country
we?
Country where anything goes, so why not have people kill each other?
Can't all be, Norwegians. Conway's here.
Hey now. You know, that's true. I mean, it took us generations and generations and generations to become somewhat civil. We can't do it overnight.
No, we got a long way to go.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. All right, we got Steve Gregory coming on tonight. That guy's cool. And then we have an attorney.
That's why he's coming on.
Well, that's not the real reason he's coming on. But he is kind of a cool guy, right? I mean, people like him around the halls. Jennifer Kennedy's coming on. She's attorney fighting Granada Hills Charter. You know, they're still not letting these kids going to graduate this year unless they're vaccinated.
Oh, come on.
They're not going to let them graduate or go to the prom unless they're vaccinated.
Which school is this?
Granada Hills Charter.
Oh, what a bunch of fanatics.
I thought this article was from 2019.
I know.
It's 2023.
Why can't they let go?
I don't know. We'll find out, though, at 5 o'clock when the lawyer comes on. And then we also have Torrance's Alpine Village. It was a really cool place, more than 50 years, and it's closing for good. Torrance's Alpine Village. Ken, I bet you've been there, right?
No.
So I have.
You, not really, Eric, you've been there?
Yeah, I had to work promotions events when I was on the street team for iHeart.
Yeah, for Oktoberfest.
Yeah, or just any random ticket giveaway.
Are you sad it's closing?
Sure.
No, you're not.
It was a cool-looking place.
It's great. Alpine Village. And then
Conway loves to hang on to traditions. He wouldn't give up.
Yeah, anything. I really do. I'm a traditionalist, man. Old school. Target is launching a drive-up returns. You can take whatever crap you don't want anymore, drive up, and just throw it at the guy.
Wow. I got some ideas.
All right.
Ding dong.
All right. And I got a button missing from my shirt. I don't know if you can see that.
You wear shirts like my dad used to wear.
I'll take that as a compliment.
Yeah. It's the same style of shirts.
Sure. You mean your brave dad that fought the Nazis and left Poland as a hero? I'll take it as a compliment.
You have the same taste in
shirts. That's right. This is my Don Martin shirt. Wouldn't Don Martin wear something like this?
Yeah, sure.
White with blue stripes.
Right. Conway is next. Crozier's got the news.
John's dead.
Live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.